Welcome to If You Only Knew. We have Mr. Harold Hughes with us. He's the founder of Bandwagon, a sports tech company with a fan-to-fan marketplace that helps you protect home field advantage and create the ultimate game day experience. Let's start off with the background of your journey, Harold. We first met last year around this time through American Underground and Google's partnership to invite promising startup ventures to town for a full week of coaching and strategizing. And I know you were a clear star from the beginning when I first met you, and I definitely have enjoyed our time spent. But since then, you've been hustling and making things happen to take your company to the next level. Let's go back in time first, though. Tell us where it all started as a young, bright student in grade school, and if you ever saw yourself working as an entrepreneur.
Absolutely, and thank you for having me. So I was born in New York City. My parents, they're both Jamaican, and their parents and their parents and their parents. And so one of the things I've, you know, always said is, you know, as a child of immigrant and a first-generation American, we really have been instilled at a young age to make sure that we work really hard and we try in education. And so as a young kid, it was really imperative to my parents that we got great education and got a great job. So growing up, we spent a few years in New York City before moving to South Carolina, and actually ended up really focusing on how do we do the best job of communicating and collaborating with people. Growing up, we didn't have much, but we had what we needed. And so we were always able to find ways to make connections with other people, to make our journey a little smoother. And that's really something that my siblings and I really kind of mastered after a while. We were really social butterflies in that way. And so when it came to school, we really gravitated to the really talented and bright children, and were all in these really unique programs. I think it was called Alert and Junior Achievement and all these different things growing up in Columbia, South Carolina. And for me, there was never any inclination that I was going to end up in entrepreneurship. At a young age, I thought I was going to be a lawyer. I did speech and debate, and I've always worked on those types of things that allowed me to properly position and perfect an argument. And so my parents and family always thought that, you know, law was going to be what I was going to be interested in. And subsequently, that's what I ended up studying in school to be prepared for law school. So I studied economics and political science at Clemson University, thinking that I was going to go to law school. So yeah, it's been quite a journey, but I'm really excited about, you know, the upbringing we've had and how it's created a great foundation for us to run this company and move the ball forward.
Now, did you have any particular teachers or mentors that influenced your career?
Oh, absolutely. My first grade teacher, Ms. Romig, is my favorite teacher in the world. She has a birthday that's a day after mine, so hers is November 8th and mine is November 7th. And she loves chocolate and she loves teddy bears. And she is the one person when I was growing up who made me really love education and really was the person who helped me understand that it was more than just myself that I was working for. Because if you didn't do well, or if I didn't do well, she was actually disappointed. Mm. And I remember the first time I let her down, but she thought I was going to do better on something than I did. And that was an opportunity for me to understand that the decisions and things that we do in life really impact more than we probably even think it does. So she's always been really, really instrumental to me. So growing up, that was definitely probably my biggest influence from the grade school level was Ms. Romig.
Well, that's a wonderful story. In fact, I was just sharing with some students yesterday about the importance of remembering those who have helped us along the way, in particular our high school teachers or grade school teachers. And how many times do we send a note, or when we're back home during the holidays, do we check in and let them know our progress? Because they really do care. They invest so much in us as young people. Now, I know you about your love for Clemson football, and I had the opportunity to visit Death Valley and got that experience. What sports did you play or now enjoy watching or playing?
So growing up as a kid, my first sport was definitely soccer. We weren't allowed to play football, and so being, you know, the child of Jamaicans, soccer was definitely my number one and favorite sport, and it still is today. But yes, growing up, I played soccer. We played football in high school, so that was the earliest we were able to play. So there was no chance that we were going to be going pro in that regard. And I also ran track. And so I was a long jumper and a triple jumper. And so those were really the things that we did to kind of stay active. We'd always be outside, and my siblings were built-in friends, as my parents would say. So, you know, we'd always need to be out being active and stuff like that. But growing up, I loved watching college football, loved watching Clemson, watching University of Florida. And from college basketball, I was a huge Tar Heel fan with the Ed Codas of the world in that generation. So really now today, I maintain a lot of that when I have time to keep up with college sports.
So do you find time to read or watch television much? I know with Netflix now, I've been binging on a number of great shows. It certainly keeps me entertained. Do you have any favorites?
Yeah, so far, we actually looked at our cash flow as a household the same way in entrepreneurs, you look at cash flow for your business, and said, man, we are not watching TV enough to justify keeping it. So we were early cord cutters, so we don't have cable in our house, but we do have Netflix and we do have Hulu. And so occasionally we'll watch these different shows. I think we just finished watching season one of The Good Place. So my wife picked that show. And then of course we watch some of these dance shows. And so we really love that and The Voice. But really I spend a lot of my time either watching live college football or listening to podcasts and Audible. So I'm a huge podcast person. And then I love listening to Audible books because I can listen to those on my drive while I'm cutting the grass. That's really my main source of entertainment.
It's interesting. You mentioned Audible. My brother gave me a year subscription to that, which I hate to say, I didn't really use it because I'm still stuck with the having the book in my hand, smelling the paper. But I really need to start changing. I do listen to podcasts, but when I think about all the books in my house, I've got to start letting go and letting other people experience that and move with the technology because, as you're right, you can take it with you anywhere.
Absolutely. And one of the things I think is really cool about it is that you're able to consume that content in a lot of different mediums. So it's not even, it's not even unlikely for you to be able to go on and say, I'm going to own this book physically, but then I'm going to listen to some chapters of it on Audible. Mm. So you can get through it faster, and then maybe you go back and write and make comments on some of the pages.
Great advice. I'm going to take that one for sure. So let's take a break here, and we'll be right back to discuss more with Harold Hughes, business owner of Bandwagon, a sports tech company with a fan-to-fan marketplace that helps create the ultimate game day experience. Back with Harold Hughes, founder of Bandwagon, a startup sports tech company that helps fans find the right seat and pay less fees. Harold, tell us more about your company, Bandwagon. What should fans and sport organizations expect?
Well, the number one thing that fans should expect is that this platform was built for fans. And so even though we don't have an app, we actually made this website to be mobile responsive, so you can go on it on your iPhone or your Android device. But we really made sure to leave that door open so that if we have partnerships with businesses and sports organizations, we're able to integrate into their apps. And so we didn't want to make anything that was competitive. So sports fans got together on my team, and we decided to build a platform to help fans find their perfect seat on game day. And a lot of times, you know, people will say that and say, well, what does that mean? Well, depending on where you are, you may want to have a seat in the shade, or you may want to have a seat in a family-friendly section, or you may be trying to find a seat at the away team section because you drove 6 hours to see your favorite team play in a new stadium. And so what we want to do is give fans the ability to find that seat using filters to be able to pick out their perfect seat on game day. We've surveyed thousands and thousands of fans, and when you ask people where do they want to sit? What's their perfect seat? There's a lot of variation. And unfortunately, the existing market players don't really give you the kind of data you need to make a decision that's going to justify the fact that you're spending hundreds and hundreds of dollars on these weekends. So it's really important for us to build a platform for fans to be able to figure out what are they looking for and find their perfect seat on game day. On the sports side, when we look at the B2B teams side, one of the things we wanted to create is a platform to help teams identify who's inside their stadium. So we call that our stadium identity management platform. And you think about that in a simple way. if you're able to understand who's sitting in your stadium specifically, you're able to curate their experience and help make them personalize it so that they're going to have a reason to come back. College football attendance has been declining for about the last 10 years as campuses and schools across the country have seen less and less people show up throughout the years. And a lot of that may be due to the advancements of technology and leaving parking and the expensive concessions at home. But if you're able to help fans curate the experience, once they're inside your stadium, they'll understand that what they're getting is something that they cannot substitute at home. And so that's really what we've been building here at Bandwagon for teams and live event partners.
Well, that sounds really exciting. I know I'm on the team to support you any way that I can, but I'm just fascinated about this whole world of ticketing. People will talk about how you need to have a great team out there. That'll draw the fans and bring in more money. And people talk about media packages. That's really what brings in the money. But there is no doubt there's a whole industry around ticketing. And we're seeing it not only from the professional side, professional sports, college sports, and even high schools. Can you talk a little bit more about how vast this market is?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're looking at a more than $20 billion ticketing market.
Wow.
When you're looking at these live events when it comes to sports. And to your point, a lot of times people do think, well, the product on the field really does matter. Yes, it does in some case. But when you look at how we're looking at college football, a lot of these donors need to maintain their giving levels to keep their seats. So if the star quarterback is gone and you're waiting for a new recruit to come in to lift your team and take them to the playoffs, you still are probably going to be a season ticket holder. Now, you may not be the person that goes to the game, but you may be reselling them, but you're still going to be buying those season tickets. And so, yes, there's a level of performance that matters, but what we think is that if you look at this and approach this from the fans' point of view and find a way to help them have a better experience, regardless of what happens on the field, you're going to be able to increase the attendance and really increase fan engagement, because now you've got a person who's saying, win or lose, I'm going to have a great atmosphere spending time with my son, taking him to the game. Or win or lose, I'm going to connect with some friends and buddies from college, and we're going to have a great time outside of that, whether it's the morning after or even the evening and weekend. So that's really what we focus on, is giving teams the data and the ability to do that engagement through knowing who's there.
So at this point, tell us a little bit how long you've been in business again and what you would need right now. How can people support you or get involved?
Absolutely. So the number one thing that we need right now is more users to check out what we're working on. As a startup, you're playing and competing against some of these large players who are really established. We started Bandwagon in May of 2014, right as I finished my MBA at Clemson University, and I ended up going full-time on Bandwagon last January, so January 2016. And so we think about the risk that it takes to start an entrepreneurship is really, really important, but listening to what users want is even more important than that. And so the number one thing that folks can do for us is go on a Bandwagon, sign up, pick your favorite team, Duke, Wake Forest, NC State, Chapel Hill, wherever it is, and give us feedback. Let us know what you like, what you don't like. Let us know about the other platforms you're using. And oftentimes we'll say, man, you know what would be great? If I could go to one website, I could buy my tickets, and then also figure out what I'm going to do that weekend. We took that feedback and actually created a partnership with a company called UTrip, where we're able to help fans plan an itinerary for some of these large away games and bowl games in a matter of about 15 seconds using artificial intelligence. So you can imagine going on to our website, clicking plan your trip, and you're saying, oh, I'm going to the Sugar Bowl, and you'd be able to pick New Orleans, you pick your dates, and you'd say, I'm interested in shopping and wine, or I'm interested in a family-friendly trip. And in seconds, artificial intelligence creates an entire itinerary for you, including places to stay, places to eat, attractions to see, and it builds in your game day window so that you know, oh, the game is on this day, and this is the time to allocate to it. So we're really interested in getting feedback from more and more users, and that would be so awesome to be able to learn more about the Tar Heel State.
That's exciting news, and I love the way you continue to build on your offerings. Can you tell everyone again the website?
Yes. So our website is bandwagonfanclub.com.
Very good. So before we take a break, working in the sport industry can be very competitive. What drives you?
I think that one of the, and this is probably more of a personal thing that's motivating me, is that before I started Bandwagon, I was actually let go from my day job. And being able to decide what my family's outcome is going to be and having control in that is really, really what drives me. So you think about how some of these athletes are motivated after they lose in a Super Bowl or lose in a playoff game, and then they go back and work harder. I think that's kind of how I'm looking at this thing. I never want to be in a position where I don't have control of my destiny and the ability to help provide for my family. And so at the same time, I think that what we've been working on is a solution that's going to make a lot of people really, really happy by making sure that they have more family outgoing activities and have a better experience when they're inside those stadiums. And so making sure that I'm building something that's going to last is really the thing that motivates me. And so every day that's really what gets us up and working.
Well, there's no doubt that's very common for entrepreneurs to have that threat of discontent, and then you just continue to work hard and smart to make it happen.
All right.
Let's take a break here, and we'll be right back to discuss more with Mr. Harold Hughes, owner of Bandwagon. We're back with Harold Hughes, founder of Bandwagon, a startup sports tech company that helps fans find the right seat and pay less fees. Harold, are there any sport executives or even non-sport leaders that people would be surprised to know that you greatly respect and admire?
Yeah, absolutely. I think Mark Cuban's probably one of the most well-known and visible folks. And one of the things I love about him is that he clearly identifies that he's not in the basketball business. He's in the fan engagement and entertainment business. And so regardless of what the product is on the floor, he works with his team to make sure that they're able to provide a better experience for that user, win, lose, or other, inside that arena so that they're able to continue to come back and feel like they gained value from their hard-earned dollars that are spent there. So I definitely love what he's doing down there, and also really excited about the things that are happening down in Atlanta with the new Falcon Stadium. If you look at some of their concessions pricing, they're lower than anywhere else in the industry, and there's really no reason for some of the prices to exist as high as they are elsewhere. So it's really cool to see that they're making it more affordable for families and people to be able to come out and have a really good time inside their new beautiful arena there.
Do you think that's a trend or that's just an outlier?
I think it's going to have to be a trend. If you look at the size of these stadiums, and you can look at some of the teams out west and the Rams and the Chargers and the attendance challenges they've been having lately, if you make these arenas smaller, you'll probably be able to get closer to capacity being filled. So now, if you've got these existing large stadiums, you've got to find a way to allow for different tiers or different class. It's not just the white-collar experience you're trying to provide anymore. You need to find a way for this to be the young adult, the family, to be able to bring their kids and be able to buy tickets and parking and consume food and merchandise at a reasonable price. So I think this is going to be the trend, and I'm looking forward to seeing how the case studies play out after Atlanta this fall.
So, Harold, if you were back in college and the sport industry was not an option, knowing what you know now, whose job outside of sports would you love to have?
Man, I think that I would love to be on the brand ambassador side working with athletes. One of the things that I've been really fortunate to do and have through some of my investors is have the ability to talk to some of these NFL players and NBA players to really talk about what their future is outside of sport. And one of the things I'm always trying to emphasize is you have no idea how powerful your brand is today relative to tomorrow and the days after, meaning that your brand today is so powerful that if you're able to say, I'm going to do endorsements and I'm going to take a percentage of equity in this startup and a little bit of cash, it's going to carry you and propel you so much farther than if you say, oh, I'm going to open up a restaurant or I'm going to open a nightclub. And so it's really looking at the forward opportunities that athletes have to really leverage their brand and how big it is at their peak before they start thinking about what to do with their money towards the end. So I would love to be a brand ambassador for these athletes to help them see how can I leverage my talents, my network, my voice to be able to get into tech and into startups and into large growing opportunities so that as my career ends, I'm still able to capitalize on all the hard work and stuff that I've built before. So I think that would be pretty exciting as an opportunity. I'm not sure what the actual job title would be, but I think it'd be in that field.
Well, it sounds like we have another opportunity to collaborate with my company, Laser, Life After Sports with Effective Results, helping pro athletes transition from that career. So somehow
Absolutely.
We're going to have to put Bandwagon and Laser together.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, thanks again for spending time today, Mr. Harold Hughes, the founder of Bandwagon. And you can visit and learn more about this amazing sports tech startup. The website is bandwagonfanclub.com, bandwagonfanclub.com. Harold Hughes.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Harold Hughes, sport entrepreneur and founder of an amazing company, Bandwagon.